to Neil's take. Hello, Neil. I wonder what you've been musing on this month. Let's hear it.
Sometimes I think I'm just a very sad person. I'm finding more and more that I'm developing a fascination for trivial things going on around me. Mrs. H and I were queuing for coffee in a busy cafe recently. People joined the queue behind us. I noticed that if there was a couple, one would go off and bag a table. As a result, a number of people were sitting at tables waiting for their food to arrive, while those leaving the counter with loaded trays could find nowhere to sit. A man two up in the queue from us spotted a table, became free and zoomed off to claim it, leaving his wife to queue for their meal. The woman in front of me tore into her, telling her it wasn't right. People were coming and going all the time, so they should wait their turn. I must admit, I'm on the fence with this one. Part of me says you should wait until you've been served before you look for a table. But in a desperate situation, I suggested to Mrs. H that one of us bagged a seat. "We can't do that," she hisses. "It's not fair on other people ahead of us in the queue." I continue to people watch. "Well, you've got to do something to pass the time. Coffee takes so long to serve from these gurgling and hissing machines." Where there was a man and a woman, I found myself observing which one went to sit down and which was left in the queue. It worked out about 50-50. And whoever queued was the one who played mother and poured the tea. Really, how sad is this? What have I come down to when I derive stimulation from watching people's cafe habits? And it got worse. I know some people spent their time in animated conversation. Others just sat in silence. Perhaps they just had a blazing row. Some read a paper while their partner stared into space. And it was amazing to see how many hauled out their mobile phones and buried their heads in them. Of course, there was no silence at the Haverson table. Mrs. H was in full flow. I continued to people watch while interjecting the odd grunt to give the impression I was hanging on to every one of her valuable words. "We must get a spare duvet set. I saw one I really liked, but you should have seen the price. And we must look at a lampshade. Are you listening to me? Your eyes are all over the place. What did I just say? We need a lampshade." "I know you can repeat it para-fashion, but you didn't take it in." Mrs. H also burbles away while we're queuing. If there are plenty of free tables, she will go and sit down and leave me to queue in peace. Of course, when she leaves me to order the coffee, there is always a parting shot. "And make sure you ask for a very frothy cappuccino." Oh, the pressure this puts me under. I do always ask for a really frothy one. Occasionally I'm served by a fellow froth aficionado, but usually they look at me as if I'd asked for it to be served in a gold mug. If it's well frothed, I bear the tray to the table as if it is big game I bagged on safari. If there is more milk than froth, I put the tray down and burble about anything that comes to mind in the hope she will not notice. But that never works. "Phew, that's a latte, not a cappuccino." And she launches into a breakdown into the correct way to brew a cappuccino. Meanwhile, I've sunk my Americano and drifted off into another world. Now, here's a thought. If I order a latte, do you reckon I'll get the perfect cappuccino?
Oh, Neil, you do always manage to describe your life so vividly. I sometimes feel that I'm actually there with you in these situations.